And welcome to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. Today we are going to talk about time and what that means to our faith and to everything else about that, even small town. I want to shout out to everyone listening and supporting this ministry. It's always appreciated, and I love getting to know our new neighbors in the small town and talking with them. So let's dive right in, shall we? We all have time. It's all around us. We consume it, and a lot of times we waste it. You know, sometimes we get watching a TV show or something like that, and we could have been doing other things that are more productive. But you know, that's one of the things, and we can't store it. It's not like we can just put, you know, time in a bottle or anything like that. You know, we have it. It keeps moving. For beginners in the faith, time can be kind of one of those things where you're so excited with the faith that you just don't seem to have enough time to talk about the good news of Christ. And so a lot of people, you know, that first, you know, month or 2 months when they're really new and they're planting seeds and they're ministering to other people, they tend to think that it's going to just cultivate right away. Like, I just talked to John down the street about Christ. He'll come to church, you know, this Sunday. Well, John doesn't come to church next Sunday, and he doesn't come again, and he doesn't come again, he doesn't come. And right away, people are like, well, you know, maybe I just failed, you know, and they get frustrated because what they deem is something that shouldn't be so easy, because I see, you know, the greatness of God and all that he can do. It should be easy for someone else to look at it and be like, oh yeah, you're right, I should go. And the other thing too is with TV shows nowadays, you know, we've gone through the whole TV with the 30 minutes and you basically have something that's done. That doesn't happen in real life. We don't have an ending a lot of times in a half hour sit down. You know, we're told we only need a small mustard seed, like I said, to grow. And one of the things I've been reading a lot here recently was from Charles Spurgeon, of course. He had one of his ministries was talking about this very thing. And what he liked to do was talk about planting a flower seed. And what he discussed was, just like our faith, you know, we plant that seed and then we just expect it to just bloom, right? But no, what do you have to do with your plants? What do you have to do with like a strawberry seed or something? You have to water it. You have to nurture it. So even though we may have planted that small seed into someone who really desperately needs Christ, have we nurtured them along with it? Have we given them enough information to let that seed grow and to sprout roots? And then the other thing he's talking about is while people are have accepted that seed a little bit, but do you just pull the roots, you know, do you pull that flower out of the ground to see if it's got good roots and then stick it back in, right? No. What you do is you trust that the roots are growing deep. You can tell from the growth of the flower or from the fruit what's happening. And if you give them the right nutrition, you give them the right water, there you go. You'll have a successful fruit, much like what Christ talks about with, you know, the fruit of their labor and with the fruits of ministries. So I think what we need to really do is make sure that we don't hold back like the newly to the faith, but we need to give them that tip, that trusting notion that you're not going to see something right away. If you do, that's great, you know, and maybe God has sent you along with someone else in the past, and this is just another step for them, but not to be caught up on the fact that your work isn't being grown right away. You know, especially in a small town, you know, if you set up like a food bank, And you're really hoping that all the people that need the food, because you know people need the food, will come in. What's one reason why it doesn't always succeed right away is because there's the thing that if I walk in there, I know who's behind the counter. So if I'm working it and I see Fred come in, Fred's automatically going to know, hey, Matt knows now that I am down on my heart, down on my luck, and I need food. Or if you start a shelter, for homeless. Once again, if somebody you know comes in there, it makes them feel so much worse because they don't want you to feel bad for them sometimes. So that's where we have to be prepared to embrace, show them love, but also accept that we may not get that initial push like what we hoped for. It may be slow. We may have to nurture it, water it with God's word and with Christian love. In New York, in the much bigger cities, it's so much easier because if I'm homeless and I'm near an area where I know family's at, I could just go down, a few blocks or to another part of town. No one's gonna know who I am. Chicago's the same way. You're not gonna be pop. You're not gonna know everybody in Chicago, but you go to a town where there's only 5,000 or 15,000 people. I'm sorry, everybody knows everybody. And so I think that's the problem. And then you also have peer pressure as well. You've got the peer pressure of, you go in, what should I grab it or should I not? Is that forced on them? No, it's not. It could be self-imposed, but that's one of the problems we have to overcome with the Christian love and with the seed of faith. So once again, I just want to say, just make sure that when you plant those seeds, I know a lot of people are like, I've talked to all of my neighbors and about the greatness of God, and I know they're all gonna go. There's some that may be strong-footed into other Christian sects that aren't of your own. If you minister to a Methodist and you're Catholic, do you think you're going to be able to them see where you're coming from? Especially Catholic has got some other things going on too. Methodists have other things going on too. So a lot of times, people aren't going to just switch just because you had this breakthrough. On the flip side too is if you go and you minister to someone who is who have a drug problem, addiction, depending on when you find them and minister them to them, A, they may not remember, or B, they know people in that church, and so they're going to feel very conscious and going in there. It may take a long time before that little seed starts to grow, but that doesn't mean you don't stop going to them and talking to them and telling them the good news and telling them how God loves them and how with repentance and salvation and grace, they too could be saved just like you. You can continue doing that and be prepared to have to do that. Water that seed, nurture that flower, but don't expect the flower to grow in 24 hours or 24 minutes. Sometimes it takes a long time for something to sink in sometimes for people. And so I think that's where we sometimes struggle, especially in small town. That's where we have the biggest problem is when we try to plant seeds within our neighbors that we know need that loving embrace of God, and we don't see anything from it. We get frustrated, and then we're like, well, maybe God just doesn't want me to do this, or maybe there is no God. And we start questioning ourselves over the fact that it may take some time for that person to finally see where God is in their life. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, listen to some scripture that kind of backs all this up, and we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to Small Town with Matt Gaff. Thank you for listening to that ad. It really does help with keeping this thing rolling and paying some of the bills that go with this ministry. So today we are talking about time and in a small town, time as well as planting those seeds of faith within your neighbors, especially a small town, there's obviously some problems that can arise. Sometimes, though, there's no problem, and you set that seed, and it just grows and grows, and you just found a new believer. And so, therefore, you know, it doesn't always have to be doom and gloom, like some people claim. Sometimes you plant the seed, and you know they come that next Sunday, they like it, and you're good to go. And that happens sometimes. But sometimes you'll plant that seed, and it's going to take months. Maybe even years before they come to the church to see what you were talking about. So really patience is what we're also kind of talking about in a subliminal thing. And patience is a virtue and one that God demands from us. And I think sometimes he has those incidences where we're planting seeds and we won't see it. In some cases, you may not see it for your lifetime. There's, you know, times where you'll plant the seed, they'll move to another town, and then they'll be like, you know, maybe I should look for a church. And that's fine. Sometimes he places slow-growing seeds in our way to show how mighty and patient he is. He waited hundreds of years for his works to be shown. I mean, in the Bible, we show multiple times where God planted a seed through prophecy or something like that. It took hundreds of years before it actually became. So, you know, for us, waiting a year isn't hard or shouldn't be hard. As long as we continue to water and feed our faith, progress will occur. And that's what I'm talking about. When you plant a seed, you don't just plant a seed and then walk away. You need to water it. You need to give it nourishment. You have to give it education, you know. And that's, as a new faith, it's sometimes hard because a lot of people are like, oh, well, I'm new myself, so I don't want to steer someone wrong. And that's fine, but that's also where you both could pick up like a study guide. You could go and do some class, not classes, but some study off of the internet that's through very solid, you know, churches. And then you both can grow at the same time. And that's where I think a lot of people kind of stop thinking. They're like, well, I need to be the person in charge. You don't have to. You both can be looking through stuff like that, devotionals. So the first one we're going to look at is Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 4. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teachings drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as droplets on fresh grass, as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. And here again, he's letting his teachings drop as rain. Nourishment, basically, like we've been talking, you have to nourish that seed for it to grow. And here God's talking the same way, that let his teachings drop as rain, not harsh, not a downpour, not a gushing water, but as droplets of rain. Which most of the time is, you know, it's easy to digest. Let's go with that. So also we've got 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. So once again, even when we're new, we need to be studying ourselves because we never know when we may have to minister to someone else. We could be doing a study on new faith, even though we're new faith, and then we see someone later on, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that, you know, that devotional here. This really helped me. This will help you. So we don't always study for the right time, but we study in his time. And then we've got 1 Corinthians 3:5-7. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. So once again, here is where, you know, a lot of times our ministers can plant that seed in people, with their services. But us, the small groups or the small ministries, are the ones that are actually providing the nourishment, causing the growth. So we can have one, and then you're like, hey, I really do like that. I want to get into a small group about the study of the book of Job or something. And then the study group itself is actually providing more nourishment than what the actual pastor did. And once again, we see here where Paul is talking about that. Paul was planted and watered, but God caused the growth through Paul. And then finally, 1 Peter 2:2, and it says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So once again, all of this is talking about watering, nourishment. And that's where we have to really think about this. As people that are going out and talking to other people, we're not needing to flood them with all this information. So if you're talking to someone, especially an addict or someone very new to the faith, it's not necessarily wise to start off the conversation with, do you know you're dead? You're dead to the world. If you die now, where would you go? Do you have any idea what to do? Well, if you believe like I do, that all you have to do is to repent, be baptized, and you just ramble on for this long amount of time, and you basically cover the entire gospel in like two breaths. That's overwhelming. And quite frankly, it's going to turn a lot of people off by that type of talk. What I think is the most important, and I've used most of the time, is the very subtle talk, as far as, talking to someone, showing them that your values match with what God's values are. You love people, but you respect people, but you also need to let them know that, hey, that's not the correct way to live. Doing drugs is not healthy. It's not nice. Are you respecting your own body? Would you want, your kids to see that? You can go on and on, kind of bring it down, show them right from wrong, and slowly bring it in without the whole, thunder and lightning and everything like that. Now, sometimes that might be necessary, especially if you're doing like an intervention or something where you're just trying to drive home the point that, five people all see the same thing. But if you're just doing like on the side of the road type of deal, or at a, or just your neighbor or something like that, there's no reason to go all Bible thumping, all of that. They should be able to see God through us within our words and our works, not necessarily by that 5-minute conversation of, brimstone and fire. That's that. So this is kind of our be patient, take time, let it nurture, let your faith nurture as well. Once again, we're all growing anyway in the faith. If you're not studying, you're not learning, you're not growing. Once you've read the Bible, then you flip it and you read it again, or look at some different devotionals, or read some good solid Christian authors and get some stuff like that, and just kind of read other perspectives. And it'll help you when you meet someone else. So we're going to wrap up that we this week. Once again, if you have any questions or anything, you can shoot me an email at smalltownwithmattgaff@gmail.com. You can check me out on Facebook, Instagram as well. Once again, I look forward to talking to you guys next Monday. And until then, take care and have a safe week.